This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Se despide Norma Martínez. Gracias por su atención.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
También pueden escuchar el Informativo Pacífica de lunes a viernes a partir de las 9 de la mañana en los archivos de kpfk.org. Búsquenos bajo el nombre Informativo Pacífica en Audio Archives.
You can become a well-informed listener by starting your day listening to Informativo Pacífica every morning at 9 a.m. at KPFK's website. Just log on to kpfk.org, go to Audio Archives, and select Informativo Pacífica.
That's the end of Informativo and the beginning of Radio Unnameable. Yes, it's Radio Unnameable at midnight on this now it's Friday, February 5th, 3 days after Groundhog Day. Thank you, Uncle Sidney. My name is Bill Propp, sometimes called, I forget, Bob had a new name last week for me. Anyway, Bob will be here momentarily, and we have some guests in the studio, some of whom you may remember from several weeks ago, some dear old friends, and we have some premiums because we're in a marathon. Yes, the whole month of February looks like will be a marathon, and we do have premiums, and I have one of them in my backpack. I literally got here moments ago, and some of the other guests are here, and Bob is coming. And lest I get out wrong information, I don't want to announce what the premium subscription rate will be for the premiums. So in the meantime, I'll just say that, this is the time when we want to dig ourselves out a little farther from the deep hole that we were in. So I'll be asking you to call very, very shortly, 212-209-2950. Jot it down, because when we start pitching in earnest, that's when the time will be to make a show of lights. Yeah, we can see a little display here. So when you call the number I gave, 212-209-2950, we will get instant feedback in the form of little LEDs that glow red. Right now, none of them are there, because the people that were in tally up until now maybe are still there. Some may be leaving. Some new ones may be coming. And we'll be clearing the evening's tally, which looks pretty impressive right now, if that's correct. Anyway, keep that number in mind, 212-209-2950. And I should say one of the premiums, actually, I think I know what both of the premiums are. But again, I don't want to give out what the cost of a contribution will be. But one of them is a premium that was actually made in its raw form. I think it was in 2004. It was the night after a blizzard, and it was the night that they finally announced a settlement to the subway strike. The trains still weren't running, though. So I trekked it in by foot from 34th Street all the way down to the Lower East Side through snow. And it looks like there may be some more transit trouble, I just heard. They have a shortfall. Anyway, one of those premiums consists of the night that we had a memorial for Phil Oakes. We had it down at the, I think it was the 6th Street Playhouse, Theater, School, I don't even know. It was on 6th Street, and it was several hours long. It was in honor of Phil Oakes, so we had people doing an homage to Phil Oakes. They usually did one Phil Oakes song and one of their own composition. And we have video and audio. And we may have offered that before, but this is in a probably a more polished or produced form. And it runs about 2 hours. The concert was a little more than that. And it wasn't just all music. I remember Robert Knight spoke for a while. Some other people who were there spoke. I was just running around, ducking underneath wires, trying to stay out of trouble, coordinating things. Anyway, so that's one premium, and I haven't got the amount that we'll be asking for it. But don't forget, the premium, you're not actually buying the CD, and you're not actually buying this or that. You're actually contributing to the station. That's the main thing. Even if you don't want a premium, you can always contribute to the station without asking anything. Now, the minimum pledge without anything is $25 will get you a full year subscription. That's considered the basic rate. There is a deluxe one. They haven't got a term for it, but I'll say $50 will get you an even bigger subscription, still for a year, and our thanks. So once I get the details ironed out, we can announce how much extra you might have to kick in to get one of the two premiums. Now, that is one premium that I mentioned. And the other one, I believe it's been cleared also. I think Bob and Tony Bates may have exchanged information about this. It's from our friends up at WJFF in Jeffersonville. You may have been hearing weekly the progress in trying to defeat the big oil companies from drilling for shale, actually drilling through shale to make gas. Shale, with the injection of hundreds of toxic chemicals down into the groundwaters, using a lot of water, will actually produce an X amount of gas. But it's a tremendously devastating operation, and we've been trying to publicize that. Fred Pecora of WJFF has been really keeping us briefed all the time. The story has gone somewhat national. Democracy Now! Has talked about it. I believe Channel 13 has done something on it. City councilmen have introduced legislation. The governor is aware of it, and some companies have pulled out already. Maybe they're waiting until what, as they would term, hysteria might die down, or maybe when gasoline goes to $10 a gallon, maybe it might seem feasible again. And they're doing it now off the coast of Ireland. That's the most recent development. So that'll be another premium. It's a probably about 2 hours worth of activity surrounding the citizens up in arms against this. So I'll have to get that and play it, because I haven't got that with me. I have the Phil Oaks with me, and I think we'll be putting that on in a little bit. And I thought in the meantime, well, we have some Beatles. We have some guests already here. Can I say who's here? Hi, in order, going from left to right, and probably seniority, too. Is that? I don't mean to be insulting. It's to be complimentary.
I couldn't believe how happy I am.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
it's the happiest age so far.
Ah, good.
And I'm looking forward to even groovier and more spectacular later day saints.
You have a beatific glow, I must say, Garrett Stern. Good to see you, Garrett. Hi, thanks for coming down again.
Yep.
One of the founders of Pacifica. That's what I meant by seniority, not in a chronological sense per se.
81 years old isn't enough.
To somebody who's 97, you'd be a whippersnapper.
That's true. I've been there, done that.
Hey, thanks, Garrett Stern and Louis Bedrock. Hi there. Let me find your right microphone here. Let's see, one of these has got to be right.
Good to be here again.
That's
Garrett. You.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Louis Bedrock is an erstwhile teacher in the New York City school system. also a veteran of the infamous rubber room.
Along with many others.
Uh-huh. It's kind of an honor roll. And Robbie Barish, another longtime producer, also who's produced abroad. Wait, how does that sound?
Does that mean he's got a daughter?
Yeah, it's produced. I was trying to. Thank you.
No,
Robbie Barish.
And in this discussion about where you get your gas from, I mean, I get it from the hamburgers from those little white buildings.
Yes.
You know those little white buildings that I won't give the exact name, but.
Is the initial the same as water closet?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Water closet. That's what Jack Parr got kicked off the air for saying.
Well, you know what? I came in tonight primarily for one thing. And it wasn't to see you, Bill.
Oh, there it goes. You just blew my whole night.
Are you going to be it tonight?
No, Bob is going to be it. He'd better, if he knows if it's good or not.
Because otherwise, you know, we could be the usual duo, the dynamic duo that we become.
Yeah, we could do that, too.
But I promised Bob that I would come in and help him raise some money because that time.
It is. Whole month of February.
So why don't you give me a minute here to get started.
I can do that. I can do that.
Because I was having some thoughts when I was coming down here about fundraising and about WBAI and about where things stand and about how it's going to go and about, you know, what's happening on Radio Unnameable and what's happening with the audience at 10 minutes past midnight as opposed to the rest of the day. And I realized that one of the things that happens when you're asking for money for this radio station is that it changes a lot from the generic appeal that often comes from organizations which are looking for your financial support, either through the mail or through the internet or from, you know, personal appeals or correspondence, all those other things. Because when you listen to someone like me right now on this radio station asking you to support it, you are actually being asked to support something that you are at the very moment participating in. And that's a significant difference. You see, if you get something in the mail that says, please support, you know, some animal rescue organization or some anti-war group or something like that, the people who are sending that out to you generally don't know what your involvement really is.
You're so right. The whole idea of electric radio, which is what we used to call it, is that you have participants and you have family and you have we are all oneness out there. You can't really identify person by person, but you know that people who have listened and who continue to listen and who do support what is done, those people are out there, and they are masses of familiar human beings, and it's such a wonderful experience to be able to say things and have them received. We are the transmitters, you are the receivers.
So the point I want to make here is that you are out there right now listening to this. You're right there hearing me say to you, this is an opportunity for you to give something back to WBAI, an institution that is not just an abstract thing that you have heard about, not just something you've read about, not just something that you may occasionally listen to now and then, but something that you're listening to right now, and you have to examine for yourself. How significant is it for you to be able to have, in this case, it's Radio Unnameable. It's Bob Fass's program, a program that's been on the air here for something like 47 years. How significant is it to you to be able to put a little something back in order to keep WBAI and not just the abstraction of WBAI, but this particular radio program on the air with your financial support? So that's what I want you to contemplate for a moment. The fact is that you really need to do it because you're participating in it. There's someone who is listening to, you know, what, 70 other radio stations all up and down the FM and AM dials, But you are listening to me right now on this radio station, and it's probably not an accident. It's probably because you tuned in to WBAI, to Radio Unnameable, specifically now in order to find out what's going on, to listen
and
to Bob.
And isn't it wonderful to feel entitled to give that support? Because that's such a New York expression, to be entitled. And that's the kind of entitlement that we practice. We give and you receive. But it's the other way around, too. We receive and you give. Hey, what a relationship. Do it.
Can I say something?
So, well, let me give the phone number here, because
sure, yeah,
the goal here is to get people to, you know, we'll come back to the reasons in a minute, but the goal here is to get people to call and make a contribution. And the fact is, Bill, tell me what the pitch number is. It might have changed since the last time I was here.
Well,
I don't know. I don't want to give out the wrong number. You know?
I gave it out about 10 minutes ago,
oh,
but
well,
it's
212-209-2950. Okay, so it's the same number. Okay, I just didn't want to, you know, have somebody awakened at after midnight by giving out the wrong.
It was on its way to being changed to an unlisted number if you want.
So there it is. Okay, that's the number, 212-209-2950. And as I said, the goal here is for each and every one of you who are listening who have not made a contribution to WBAI in the last few months to either give $25 to become a full subscriber or to simply demonstrate the fact that you are part of this by calling up with $5 or $10 right now. You know, less than the cost of getting into a movie or less than the cost of a hamburger or less than the cost of a bag of those terrible gas-producing burgers that I was talking about a minute ago. The fact is, WBAI survives on the basis of the commitment of people like you who listen to it, and that out of the millions of people who are listening to something else or are sleeping in their beds or doing absolutely nothing with respect to this radio station and what it puts out over the air, we can't expect anything from them. This is not like that abstraction I was talking about before, where they're going to get something in the mail. It's going to say, WBAI is a great, wonderful New York institution. Please support it. Send a check. No, it's because you are there, because you are listening, because you are part of it, because you need it in some way, that we're asking you to give something back. And no one is asking you to deprive yourself of food, shelter, or a livelihood. It's simply to make a small contribution of whatever you can in order that WBAI can pay its electric bill, can pay its rent bill, and can keep you with the programming that you listen to. So again, 212-209-2950, and I would like to see a couple of phone calls come in.
Yeah, they could do 29, or they could do 50, like in the phone number, 2950, right?
$29 or $50?
Hey, why not?
Sounds like a,
you know, it's your choice what you give, and it's our choice what you get to receive, and we're doing it all night long, at least 3.5 hours.
Well, I'm waiting for someone to call. It would be real nice to have one person call in with something. You know, $5 from somebody.
Hi, Louis Bedrock here.
Hi.
Unlike all the people sitting around me, I'm not a producer at BAI. I'm a 40-year-old, 40-year listener. I wish I were a 40-year-old. I won't see that again.
You may not be a producer, but you have contributed in various and in important ways.
You know, Bill, sometimes when I'm listening to the show at home, I hear some fool call up and talk for 20 minutes about something that he's uninformed. And it really gets me very annoyed until I remember that I used to call up and talk for 10 minutes or 15 minutes about things that I wasn't always very well informed about. And Bob would give me the time. And maybe that's one of the reasons I've never accepted premiums. I always felt that when I send in my money, my $75 or $100, the premium that I'm getting is Radio Unnameable or In the Moment or the other wonderful shows that I listen to without hearing any commercials for cigarettes or beers or cars. And that's why I'm here tonight, to go in and answer phones, and I hope they'll be ringing. And I hope people will be calling up, because when you call up and you pledge to Radio Unnameable, you're voting for Bob. You're saying, I'm supporting the station, and I'm supporting Radio Unnameable.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm watching the little indicator which shows whether or not phone calls are coming in, and there has not been a single call. Now, I am just not ready to accept the fact that there is no one listening at the moment who has not already made a contribution in the last couple of days that this has been going on. There must be at least one person out there who is willing to contribute something to WBAI now. Would you just be that one person? Go to the phone, pick it up, and call 212-209-2950. Let me look and see your call come in. Just one person. That's all it takes to get things off the floor over here, because it is really horrible to think that there is not one person out there who is willing to call and make a contribution to WBAI. You be that one person. You be that one person.
For sure, we know that everybody out there is not asleep. You may be asleep at the wheel, or you may be asleep at the bar, but you're not too sleepy not to listen to all of us.
You know, as a demonstration of that, we could probably play that little game that Bob has devised. It would be used from time to time, year to year, namely maybe call in on the air number, and then we will count down from 10 to 1 or to 0, and just to see who was out there. And by the time we get down to 0, you can either hang up with no strings attached, obviously, or you can stay on, and we'll be glad to take a pledge, be it even $5 or $10. Now, we could do that right now, or maybe we can do that a little later. I don't know whether I should give fair warning to the tally people.
I think that we should simply just wait here for a real contribution to come
in. Okay, Okay.
We're still waiting for you to call. 212-209-2950. There must be somebody out there who believes that Radio Unnameable and WBAI is worth $5 or $10 contribution right now at this hour of the morning. And if you are out there,
yes,
please call.
They are out there. See, thank you. I think our entreaties have been paying off. It's down to one. I hope whoever's on now is going to pledge.
Well, there was only one. The rest sort of lasted approximately 2 seconds, which is not enough time for someone to actually give their name, address, and details.
Yeah, you can join that. You can join those two people now. All you have to do is call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950, and give a show of support for Radio Unnameable and for the station that has survived 50 years and is trying to make it to the 51st.
Come on, you can do it. This is your radio station. This is your radio program. You know, as I said before, and as I'll say it again, right now there are probably 70 radio stations in the New York area that are on the air. Most of them don't have human beings working there at this hour of the night. Most of them have computers, which through some electronic programming that somebody has done somewhere, put music on songs one after the other. They don't pay any staff, except maybe there's an engineer who is, you know, has to be there in case things go terribly wrong. This is one of the few places where at this hour of the morning, or this hour of the night, depending on how you look at your life, you can actually have contact with live people who would be very happy to communicate with you, both in the direction from this side of the microphone to you and from your side of the telephone back to us. And that's what happens here at WBAI. WBAI belongs to you, but WBAI is only here because of people like you. And there is no way that the people who are listening to pop music on these other radio stations, or classical music on the one radio station that has it, or text or commentary that's coming over their computer at this hour, are in any position to help WBAI survive. You know, one of the things I was thinking about was whether there is a place, whether there is a role for WBAI in the current electronic world, where there are a lot of places where you can get information. And the firm conclusion that I come to is that this place is still unique, that there is nothing like it. And the fact that you are listening to it means that you are part of it. And there is no one else that we can ask for support except from you. And there is no one who can give support except you. So please, pick up the phone, 212-209-2950. Any contribution that you can make to WBAI now will be a contribution in support of the station and in support of what you are now listening to. And I don't mean fundraising, because the sooner the money comes in, the sooner the fundraising stops and the real programming begins. And I am interested in hearing some of the things that Bill said that he has to play. And I tell you what, maybe in another 2 or 3 minutes, we can knock off this horrible harangue and play something. But in the meantime, I would like to see one more phone call come in. 212-209-2950. One more person. Go to the phone and recognize that it is your radio station, that it is your commitment that makes all the difference. And it is your commitment to keep WBAI alive.
Thank
to
you.
Join the tens of thousands of people who have done so over the past 50 years. Your phone call is what will make the difference.
Thank
now.
Thank you. Now is the time. 212-209-2950.
Abby Smith just came in, and she gave us some flowers, I guess, because the phones are dead.
They're beautiful.
Oh.
And they're real.
Yes, they are.
Bill, that's may I add something? I just want to mention that most of the producers at the station not only do not get paid, but incur out-of-the-pocket expenses to do their programs.
Tell me about
it. Now it's our turn. We being the listeners. 212-209-2950.
You have to excuse me for one, coming in late, and two, for being a little low in energy tonight. Some very sad news that I want to mention. Howard Lotsoff, who I guess is the father of Ibogaine, the scientist who discovered in a very unorthodox experiment in about 1968 that there was a pharmaceutical derived from the roots of the iboga plant, which precipitated an episode of psychic reawakening that made it possible for people who were formerly addicted to heroin and other addictive substances, from cigarettes to alcohol, cocaine, to immediately interrupt their addictive process. And for years and years he struggled to bring this information out, performed clandestine operations where people were cured of heroin addiction in a period of 2 or 3 days, and it was a struggle because other people claimed that they had discovered this principle, and He traveled, I believe, to Gabon, which was the source of the iboga plant, where the iboga plant is used in a ritual of the indigenous people.
The Moichi.
Yes, it's when a young adult enters into adulthood, they go into a sex-segregated hut, and they eat pounds and pounds of the root of this plant, and it precipitates a psychological exploration of their entire life. And they report that they would see people who take this, Westerners who took this trip, would see projected on the walls of the room all of the major turning points in their life, and they would see them in a way that they hadn't seen them before. They reported that they could actually see the poisoning that the heroin or the tobacco was causing in their body, and they would wake after 3 days, and they would have no more compulsion to go. They would feel a little, even revulsion at the idea of going out and scoring. And I've known a few people who underwent this miracle, and I know how kind and patient and how how careful Howard Lotsoff was with these people and with presenting his findings to international conferences. And after a long and painful battle with cancer, he died this last week. And there's going to be a service of some kind at Harmon Funeral Home in Staten Island tomorrow morning. And he's going to be missed. I hate to bring you down, but life is like that. It ends sometimes when work is not yet completed. But Howard Lotsoff will be remembered by many people around the world as the father of the ibogaine treatment.
It's the second time this night that name has been mentioned, because I was at a poetry science talk earlier this evening, and a lot of talking was done about both ibogaine and other psychedelics, and someone did know that Howard had passed. It's such a... I heard someone earlier, a few minutes ago, use the word exotic. We have a lot of exoticism here at the radio station, as well as esotericism and just normal gab between folks who want to talk to you out there, and sometimes you're good enough to call and talk with us, but we will all miss the human presence of somebody like Howard Lotsoff. I never even know how to pronounce his name exactly.
Lotsoff.
Yeah, I know. Right. That's right.
I remember him very well.
at the topic tonight at the talks was death by a professor from NYU named Taylor Volk, V-O-L-K, and a lot of it was about the death of cells, even bacterial cells, and what that did for the exchange of carbon in life. You know, we are not independent organisms after all. We depend on the death of billions of cells, and some of those billions of cells are coming through to you out there, and you're supposed to call here and contribute, or at least tell us something that you are interested in.
I'm sorry, I was looking at this album. I didn't hear the question that you asked me.
Didn't ask you anything. I just expected you to have something to say.
I have something to say. One of my favorite lines in poetry is in a poem by Wallace Stevens called Sunday Morning. Death is the mother of all beauty. When you were speaking about the death of cells, it came to me.
Hey, one of the great poets of the world. If any of you have not read The Idea of Order at Key West, I would advise it to anybody. It's a purely civilized, generous examination of the walk by the water in Key West and
beautiful
what they
poem.
Heard.
I wish I had the poem Snowman. It's such a great poem about winter, the way he links the external desolation with the internal desolation that we feel on a cold day.
I remember W.C. Fields coming in with snow blowing around him and saying, "It ain't a fit night out for man or beast."
Fatal glass of beer.
We do have that premium that we mentioned before of
it's keeping queued up
Phil
now.
Oaks Memorial Concert.
Right.
You talked about some of the circumstances, Bill. It was at midnight, after a blizzard,
during
a subway strike had actually been settled, but the trains weren't running, and it was at the 6th Street Community Center.
Yeah, and it was somewhere.
Couldn't remember that
remember
before,
the
but, but it was after midnight, and over 200 people showed up to listen to all of these really wonderful musicians sing their own songs and Phil Oaks songs. It was organized by Mitch Cohen. And some of the musicians, because there were a lot of musicians in the audience, I saw. Some of the musicians were Linda Draper, Peter DeSoja, Joel Landy, Kurt Kelly, Debbie Dalton, Abby Lapin, The Wows, Ben Parrish, Mitch Cohn and Al Podber, and Jeffrey Lewis. And that's just the names. You ought to hear the music.
Yeah. Which you will do. You'll hear a little teaser of it. And there's actually video to go with it, though.
That's right.
You can't do
that's
it. Right. You can't show that on the radio.
Video shot by Ricky Hirsch. And 4 years in the titling.
About 2 hours. Runs about 2 hours.
With a couple of misspellings. But we'll let that pass. Ricky Hirsch's own name is misspelled, and Unnameable was misspelled, among other things. But I hope you won't take that as a detriment to the overall performance.
This makes it a collectible. It
certainly was not, yeah.
So if you
it's like
if
having
you
a broken
subscribe to WBAI for, say, what is the basic
subscription fee? That's what I was going
to.
The basics of subscription fee is $25. Yeah.
And give us another 15, and we'll give you this.
Okay.
This,
that's what I didn't know. That was
wonderful.
The unknown quantity.
Wonderful evening. It was a long concert, and it was full of great moments. Yeah.
It was even webcast, I think, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I don't know where, but not just BAI. And we have that. We brought it back alive in audio and video.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time we had attempted to do something like that and to broadcast it simultaneously. Right. And
John Sirius helped with audio,
right.
Tremendous engineer.
And Bill Wells, the engineer.
That's right.
And
so is this premium a DVD or a CD?
Oh, it's a DVD.
A DVD with video. And it's $45.
We said 15 above the...
It's 40.
40.
Okay.
Well, okay.
40.
So
we'll won't kill you to throw in an extra $5.
Right. As I
this
said.
Is a time when WBAI, we never have these fund drives except when we need money, which is all the time.
That's right.
And there's a slight improvement in our financial state when we have paid our rent. Our rent has been paid up to date, and the improvement is that we haven't had a fund drive for over a month. So we don't have to have one every 15 minutes anymore. We're doing better. People seem to be approving our programs,
yep.
And that's a big improvement.
Yep. As Robbie was saying before, it's not for the premiums that you really contributing to the station, at least not solely. We hope not. It's the idea of the radio, having this here. It's yours.
Having a piece of the station in a funny way. This is something that would not have ever been broadcast anywhere else but WBAI. And more's the pity, because it's a wonderful program. And during the night we'll be playing bits and pieces from it. We might even begin now.
Yeah.
You'll hear some of the roughness.
And I'm going to play.
That's Linda Draper.
It's called Flower Lady.
She was here.
And I'll just go ahead. Nobody's buying flowers
from Flower Lady. Soldiers disillusioned come home from the war. Sarcastic students tell them not to fight no more. They argue through the night. Black is black, white is white. Walk away, both knowing they are right. But nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady. Smoke dreams of escaping souls are drifting by. Dull the pain of the living as they slowly die. Smiles change into a sneer, washed away by whiskey tears. In the quicksand of their minds, they all just disappear. But nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady. Feeble, aged people almost to their knees. Complain about the present using their memories. They never found their pot of gold. Wrinkled hands pound weary holes. And each line screams out, you're old, you're old, you're old. Still nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady. And the flower lady hobbles home without a sail. Tattered shreds of petals leave a fading trail. Not a pause to hold the rose. Even she no longer knows. The lamp goes out. The evening now is closed. But nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady.
That was the wonderful Linda Draper, who was a guest here on Radio Nameable, oh, probably about 4 to 6 weeks ago, recorded at the Phil Oaks concert, and that is just one of the musical performances which you'll be able to get if you give a little bit more for your subscription to WBAI than the ordinary $25. If you increase it by $15, you can have a DVD. Let me read the names of a couple of people who have contributed, and then I will try and convince some more of you to do the same. Lynn Cooper of New York City, thank you. And Michelle Zaraki of South River, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Michael...
He doesn't want his last name mentioned.
Oh, and Michael from Brooklyn, first name only. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you all. Okay.
That way there'll be no confusion because there's probably only about two.
Now you can add your name to the list of these noble, honored people by calling and what's the number, Ravi?
212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
Let me get back to a point I was making earlier, and I want to make it again. When you hear people asking you to contribute to WBAI. You're getting the message through the radio station directly from us to you because you have your radio tuned to 99.5. It's completely different than the abstraction of people asking you to contribute to not-for-profit organizations of all sorts where they have simply gotten your name or where they have you on a list or where they have been told about you, where they have solicited you in some way. The fact is that when you hear someone asking you to contribute to support this station, you hear it because you are tuned in here. And therefore, you've already established a relationship that makes it, in my opinion, absolutely a requirement for you to respond by supporting WBAI. Because if you think about it, the countless tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of people who don't know about WBAI, who don't listen to WBAI, who have no concern at all about WBAI, they are not going to write checks to WBAI or give credit card numbers to WBAI or support this radio station. We have to have the support from you. And the reason that it seems completely logical to me is because you're there and I'm here and we're communicating. So what I need you to do is to recognize that you have a role in this process. The fact is that as a listener to Radio Unnameable and as a listener to WBAI, it is your responsibility, as well as something that is absolutely essential for the survival of the radio station, that you do more than simply sit there and listen to people asking you to make a contribution, particularly when, as we have said many, many times, the amount that you can contribute would be great if you can contribute $40 and get a copy of the musical CD of the Phil Oaks benefit, or $25 and become a full subscriber. But anything at all that will help WBAI stay on the air and keep this relationship between you and the radio station going is all that's being asked for. 212-209-2950. Let me see one of you pick up the phone and recognize that you have a responsibility because you are on the other end of this microphone. You know, my sound waves go in, are converted into electricity, converted into electrons, and then photons that fly through the entire area of 40 miles around the Empire State Building and eventually wind up being received in your ears. And you're listening right now. And you know whether you have or you have not responded to WBAI recently in terms of making a contribution.
So it really doesn't matter whether you feel guilty or you don't feel guilty. It still makes sense to call 212 and 209 and 2950 and do your thing.
I'm waiting for one person to pick up the phone and do that. Come on. Come on, you can do it. There's no one else who's going to do it. There's someone else who's listening to, you know, pop music right now, one station up the dial or one station down the dial. There's someone listening to classical music, you know, about 5 megahertz further up the dial. But you are listening to WBAI, and it is your support that's required.
Is that like megacycles?
Yeah, sort of. Come on. Come on, one person pick up the phone and decide that you have a relationship worth supporting with this radio station. 209-2950, area code 212. One person. We're waiting for you. Come on. Let's do it. Come on. I'm waiting. I want to see it happen. I can see it on this little box, which indicates when one of you actually decides to make the commitment to support this radio station that you are listening to and that you are part of. 212-209-2950, 209-2950, 212-209-2950. Demonstrate your commitment to WBAI by picking up the phone and recognizing that you are part of the process, that you could be listening elsewhere, you could be sitting on your computer, you could be reading a book, you could be watching television, but instead you have a relationship with WBAI that needs to be supported with your phone call. 212-209-2950. I'm waiting for you to go to the phone. I'm waiting for you to pick it up. I'm waiting for you to make the call. I'm waiting for you to become part of the process. I'm waiting for you to recognize that with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people doing completely different things, that you are listening to WBAI, and it is your support of WBAI that's needed in order to keep this station going, and that WBAI has survived here for 50 years and will continue to survive here if only you decide to do it. And for $40, not only will you become a full subscriber, but you will also get a DVD of the Phil Oaks Benefit Concert, of what you just heard, one lovely tune from Linda Draper, and there's more that you're going to hear later on. But we're still waiting for you to do it. 212-209-2950. Come on, go to the phone, pick it up, and make the call. 212-209-2950. I'm waiting for you. I'm watching. I want to see your phone call come in. I want to see you do it. I want to see you make the commitment to support a radio station that you are listening to, a radio station that has a relationship with you right now and that you probably listen to all the time. 212-209-2950. Someone else is not going to do it. We need you to do it. 212-209-2950. Pick up the phone, go to the phone, decide that you are going to give something back for whatever you take out of WBAI. This is Radio Unnameable. Bob Fass is sitting here. You've been listening to Bob Fass for decades, possibly, and maybe you've never contributed to WBAI. If you want to contribute $40 and get this, the DVD, that's great. If you want to contribute $25 and become a full subscriber, that's also great. If you want to contribute $10 and just help to provide Con Edison with, 20 minutes worth of electricity to keep this radio station on the air, that's equally great.
Hey, but, you know, how about $1,000? For $1,000, I will give you a large poetic collage signed and dated of many, many words on either a round, square, oval, or rectangular surface. How's that?
On a round to it.
$1,000.
Is that a real offer?
That's a real offer.
We have to register it, but I think that'll be no problem. That'll be no problem. You heard it here. We will deliver.
Can you be a little more specific as to what that is, Garrett?
Well, I don't have one to read here, but I paste all these words together. I've got hundreds of thousands of words in boxes. Here's like small color, small black on white, white on black, German, Spanish, French, mostly English.
Blanc on blanc?
And every one that I paste together, I think of as a poem, so that if you have like 300 words on the collage, for instance, you can read a poem in about 15 different directions because they're all in a matrix together. Uh-huh. And, I it's one of the things that I do, and I've done them ever since the 50s, and I've shown them all over the world. Principally in this country.
Sounds like a multi-dimensional palindrome.
Well, it's flat. So it's actually not multi-dimensional except in the conceptual sense of multi-dimensional. And we go way back.
Multi-directional.
Absolutely. Multi. What were we going to talk about tonight?
Well, you were... I guess we should say that this is WBAI in New York City,
absolutely.
KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia. Soon we'll be joined by WJFF in Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Liberty, New York. And we are streaming on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org. so we can be heard fairly fairly widely, and it would be good if you could tell Gerd something about how this whole thing got started. You knew Lou Hill. You were at KPFA in those beginning years, and as a matter of fact, you were at the station as a publicity director?
Public relations director and also producer. And I knew Lou really before the station went on the air, a fellow poet, and the start of the talks about the station in Berkeley was in the home of a poet, Richard Moore, and his wife, Eleanor, and Eleanor later became program director of the newly minted KPFA, and Richard was also on the staff, and he later went to the public television station in San Francisco for many, many years, KQED, as director. And Lou was a very good poet, as a matter of fact. He was the son of wealthy Oklahomans with some influence, because although he was a conscientious objector, he didn't go into the camps. He was the inspector, or an inspector, of the camps for the Quakers, although his family were not Quakers. But that was one of the responsibilities that the Quakers assumed during the war. He had a notion that the United States needed a tradition of culture which he felt he and his ideas could provide, and the nascent technology of FM was his first idea of way to focus. But he had further ideas about newspapers and magazines and the presidency, as a matter of fact, of this country.
He wanted to be president.
He wanted very badly, but he intended to do it.
Imagine a president who doesn't want to go to war.
And unfortunately, due to circumstances which were in his control, but apparently beyond his control, one of the most disillusioning things in my life at the time was his committing suicide. Mm. We were very close. He lived up on the Russian River in Duncan's Mills with his wife Joy and his children, and he had a little printing press, a hand printing press, where you had to set letter by letter type for it. You know, those were the days. I'm talking
but
about
it
the
provided
50s.
Freedom of the press if you own your own press.
Yeah, and we printed poems of his on it, and we printed a poem of mine on it. He was able to take those talks in the home of the Moors. Richard is still with us out there, and have an influence on Robert Hutchins, who at that time had left the presidency of the University of Chicago and gone on to become the president of the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation, through Hutchins, who became a good friend of Lou's and a good friend of KPFA's, gave us enough money. I wasn't working at the station at the time, for the transmitter and for operations for a number of years, and for various kinds of programming. And he and Lou were good friends. I met him on a number of occasions. It was later on that I went to work as public relations director. We had a major problem in those days because very few people had FM sets. I mean, how can you have a listener-sponsored station when so few people have sets? So I was lucky enough to come across a Japanese company called Granco, And they made these tiny little brown receivers. One was a total FM radio, and the other you could plug into your amplifier and your speakers. And we put out an offer of the radio with a free subscription. If you bought the radio, you got a free subscription. And we had an antenna crew, which I put together, all over Northern California, because we could go all the way down into the valley in Fresno and Modesto, much less Berkeley and, you know, the hills and so forth. So they would put up your antenna for free. You had to buy it. But that worked very well. And we sold hundreds of those little radios and tuners, which enabled a subscriber list to get much more established. Lou was not only a poet and a pacifist, he produced, he had ideas for programming on the radio. I worked with him on a whole series of poets, including what we mentioned before.
Mr. Stevens?
Wallace Stevens, yes. Wow. I'll have to get you something with that, because we have him reading the idea of order. And we have Lou reading the idea of order. I'll make another offer. You have to register it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, if somebody takes it, we'll do it after the fact.
Okay.
We will do it.
For the same $40, I will offer a limited number of CDs called The Billy Master, on which, among other things, you have...
Billy Holiday.
We have lots of Billy Holiday. You have Lou Hill, you have Allen Ginsberg, you have some of Cuba's revolutionaries, and lots of other voices, including a lot of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And it has a copy of a poem collage as its cover. It was originally made in the 60s and remade. Until probably sometime in the late 70s.
Garrett, I have two questions. They're not related to each other, but they are to what you just said. Just curious. First, were those the radios that I, this may be apocryphal, but that they could only pick up KPFA?
No.
Oh.
No, they could pick up any FM station.
Wasn't I thought there was something like that that he had given out as a premium.
No, I never heard of it, if there was. But
no, in the early days, that was a constant battle that we had. There were people who said we should only admit that there was one station on FM, and we should have a tuner that was selectively tuned to this one station of...
Because many decades later, courtesy of our current mayor, when he was head of Bloomberg Radio, they had a mass mailing of little AMs with batteries that only picked up Bloomberg Radio, whatever the frequency is on that.
That's interesting. I was once in the New York office of a man who was the chairman of one of the big cinema companies. I mean, one of the top cinema companies. And he kept on picking up his phone and kind of barking stuff into it. And I said to him, "Hey, Mr. S, what kind of a phone is that? Who are you talking to?" He says, "Well, that's my assistant. He's on the floor under us." I said, "He never seems to answer you." He looked at me. He said, "That's a one-way telephone." And I said to him, "How do you know he's there?" He looked at me. He said, "He's there." That's one-way communication, right?
Well, here's an example of two-way communication. We have a subscription and a request for the Phil Oaks Premium from Chris Jasinski. And here's someone who listens on Jeffersonville Radio, Francine Vidal, who has subscribed and has taken out the Phil Oakes tribute, as has Janet Apulian. Thank you very much. No, it doesn't say that this is for the premium, but it's enough to get the premium. I have to find out about that. And here's Jean Gubis, G-U-B-I-S. Thank you very much, from Westbury, New York. More people who have pledged. We could use a few more. What's that telephone number again? 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Come on, that clapping.
212-209.
Coffee is beginning to percolate in my veins. I'm beginning to get a little energy thanks to that box of coffee that Lewis brought in, and I'm feeling caffeinated.
Why?
And I want to get you to the telephone and get some of our volunteers who have it easy back there, don't they, Abby? They're just kind of sitting around schmoozing with each other. The trick, is to get them unsettled, because the calls keep coming in at 212-209-2950. And this is going to be a short marathon. I know that. I know that we're going to be able to raise our goals. Yes, that's the reason. It's February. And actually, we have a Valentine's Day coming up. Don't know that we have a special premium for Valentine's Day. We have some special premiums. I have not mentioned all of them, but we're going to be having, I guess I shouldn't tell you. The only thing that we're going to be having is this Phil Oakes premium, and if you call and support the station and get the Phil Oakes premium, well, then you'll get our premium.
Right. I hinted at the other one, but I was very scant on details, though, because I don't know exactly what we'll offer it for. Namely, the shale crisis, the fracking crisis, I should say.
Well, why don't you play a bit more of that?
Yeah, that's great. I have another cut queued up.
Is it another Linda Draper? Why don't you play?
Sure.
Valentine's Day. Do you remember when Monia de la Bruja used to spend the entire day broadcasting The Ring of the Nibelung? And she would have guests to talk about it, analyze.
The Ring Cycle.
The Ring Cycle, yeah. I love that. Holy Avocado.
Okay, let's hear another selection from that wonderful concert.
Let's try that again. Kick the habit. Kick the cat right out of the bag. You wasted your whole life in love with a stranger. Who reminded you of home? Jezebel. You can call her Belle for short. For $20 more, you can call her anything you want. She knows about magic. She shows you a trick or two. $20 more, she can tell you just how she did it. And she's wasted her whole life in love with a sailor. Yes, sir. Thank you. May I have another? All for one big brother. Plenty of crumbs for everyone. Even the burnt out old hippie who humps his tree stumps. He is just as blind as the darkness that he's been fighting against. And night for night, let the sun shine on this land that is not yours or mine. Take your coat off, just take it easy. Take me for granted, I don't care anymore. I wasted my whole life in love with a stranger who reminded me of home.
The room is filling.
That was Linda Draper from the Phil Oaks Benefit Concert, and you can have a complete recording of that concert by adding $15 to your $25 subscription to WBAI. But of course, getting a DVD or getting a CD, or getting any of the premiums that WBAI is offering during this fundraising drive is not the principal reason why you should be supporting this radio station. The principal reason you should be supporting WBAI is because you're listening to WBAI. I can't tell you how many times I've mentioned the fact that I'm going down to WBAI tonight to people who say, "What's that?" You know, now, even if you are not clever enough to figure out that something that begins with a W and has four letters may be a radio station, the idea that this place, which has been here for 50 years and has been such an important part of so many people's lives for so long, is still unknown to a large part of the population in this area, should give you pause to reflect upon the fact that when you hear people on WBAI asking you for your support, you have to recognize that the reason it is you who are being asked is because it is you who are listening. And it is only fair and right that a listener-sponsored radio station like this gets the bulk of its revenue from people who are concerned enough and interested enough and caring enough and involved enough with it to want to keep it on the air by making the financial contribution that will do so. And so that's what is going to happen now for the next few minutes. You are going to reflect upon the fact that right now there are tens of thousands of people who are still awake at 20 minutes past 1 o'clock in the morning in New York, in Alaska, in British Columbia, and all the places that WBAI has heard, and also on the World Wide Web throughout this planet, who are doing nothing but listening to WBAI and are therefore part of this radio station at this moment. And all of you as individuals have to recognize that you have a role and a responsibility in keeping WBAI on the air with your financial support. And no one has ever asked any listener to this radio station to do more than they can afford. There are people who over the years have called up and said that they have sacrificed their lunch, have sacrificed their dinner, have literally parted with money that they really needed for important other things because they believed so strongly in the fact that WBAI needed to be here for them. And yet, that's never been asked of anyone who listens to the station. It's what you can afford and what you want to give. But $25 would be really great to make you a full subscriber to the station, and by adding $15, you'll get a copy of the whole DVD of that benefit concert. So pick up the phone.
I have an idea. You know, so many people who are listening right now are already subscribers. Maybe they've given what they can give. How about this one? Conversion is a process which is wonderful in the civil life, in the civil libertarian life, in the religious life, in practically any passion that you have. How about all of you who are now subscribers making a commitment to find one person who is not a subscriber, maybe who doesn't even listen, who doesn't know, but who you think would benefit from being a friend and a listener to this station and trying to make a conversion, including a contribution. What do you think? Can you do it? And if you can, why don't you call 201?
No.
I live over there, but it's 212. It's 212-209-2950.
A couple of weeks ago, Bill, you and Robbie were talking about the folio. It's a shame that gift subscriptions no longer come with folios. Folios were a good idea when you were giving a gift subscription to whet the interest of people who received them.
Some of them had nice articles in them, artwork. You could even smoke them when they expired.
we had the folios from the very beginning of KPFA because we felt that a distribution of the printed folio as a promotion would interest a lot of people because how do people know what's on the station if they can't read something or if they can't decide to listen in the first place? KPFA was such a novelty. It was you know, and it was before NPR.
Long before.
Yeah. And, you know, and Lou and the rest of us on staff believed in it so much that we spent a lot of our time out there getting people and having little listener parties where we would get people to listen to the radio who had never listened to the station. It was a very community-oriented scene at the beginning. And to acquire an FM radio in those days was like, wow. It was like having some, you know, it was early technology in those days in the late, when did it start, late 40s?
What?
FM.
Yeah, late 40s. Didn't really catch on, though, until at least another decade, mid-50s.
Yeah, that's when we got started, right?
I remember in the late 60s, everywhere you went, you would see the KLH Model 21, which was an FM-only radio.
Table model. And,
beautiful, beautiful unit.
And many times when you walked into a store, it would be playing BAI.
They were. That would have been nice.
It was terrific. But they were a beautiful radio. Simple little wooden box.
Right. The Granco was not wood, it was plastic. But it was about the same size as the KLH.
KLH had fabric over the speakers.
Yep.
It sure did. Over the whole front, nearly.
I still
have one in my garage.
Really?
Yes. I don't listen to it because, I've got something more contemporary. But it is a very nice old piece of modernity.
You have to let the tubes warm up.
Mm. That's how I am personally. Look, I let my tubes
No. That's not true. It was solid state. In fact, I have one in my office, and that is what I listen to.
Really?
Yeah.
The Model 21?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was solid state?
Really?
Yeah. I have a KLX 21 that's in my office. I listen to it when I'm sitting in my office and listening to WBAI right now. Yeah. The only thing that I have to do to it periodically is use some potentiometer cleaner and spray it in order to get some of the dirt off the wipers. But otherwise, it works fine.
Wow. They have a much longer life.
In fact, I took it to England when I was there in the early 1970s and used it over there. It was very interesting because half of the FM band at that time in the UK was devoted to police and fire and those sort of things, and you were not allowed by law to tune into it, even though it was right there on the regular FM radio band. You were restricted by your honor from not listening.
You think many people listened on the sly?
And I don't know.
Robbie,
I guess they did.
Did you need an adapter in England? I know in Spain I used to have to use, I think they have 220.
Oh, well, you mean in terms of the voltage?
Plugging it in, yeah.
In terms of the voltage.
Was there
a
stereo model that came out after the original one, the KLH?
Well, this one isn't stereo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine there was.
I don't know.
This isn't stereo. It's regular. But
I thought the radio was just the monaural.
The radio is mono. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just got one little speaker in back of that cloth.
They put two in some table models now.
Yeah, I know they do. Well, they've had that for years.
I remember when WBAI was mono, and the first live event they ever had, it was a free music store, and they were transmitting in stereo on 62nd Street. And I think the Firesign Theater was there for one of their first performances. And I heard somebody on the left and somebody on the right. Wow! And they became 24/7 at that point, I think.
Well, let's give it another little try here.
Okay. It's the concept that you're really subscribing to, right? Not a single
premium. It's not so much the concept. The fact is, you know, you're out there. You're listening. You've got so many choices. You know, we all have choices. We all have choices about what to do with our time. We all have choices, particularly when it comes to the media, of what to do. You know, probably, to be honest with you, if I wasn't listening to WBAI at 1:30 in the morning, I'd be watching, the rebroadcast of Hardball on MSNBC, which I think, you know, I might have missed at 7 o'clock or something like that. You know, there are things that you can do with your time and with your attention.
Game of Pong, maybe.
Yeah, or you know, sitting in front of your computer playing something. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, there are, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people who have decided that what they're doing with their time right now is listening to WBAI. And now it is a matter of me directing my comment to you as an individual who is doing that. The fact is, we take it away from just sort of the generic audience and narrow down to the fact that you as an individual have chosen to be here at this moment. Whether it's because you expected to hear something else on Radio Unnameable, the kind of usual programming that Bob provides you with, or whether, in fact, it's just a habit to turn on the radio to WBAI at this hour of the night. Whatever the reason, the fact is you're still there, or you're there because you want to be there. It takes very little effort to either turn the switch to off or to move it up or down the dial, either by turning something or pressing a button. But the fact is, you are there, and the fact that you are there means that you are part of the WBAI system, part of the process. In fact, really, part of the family. Because as I was saying earlier, when I talk to people and say, I'm going to WBAI, the people who don't know what it is clearly are not part of the family. But the people who listen to WBAI, whether it's one program, whether it's just Radio Unnameable, or whether it's two programs, or whether it's an hour here or an hour there throughout the morning or the evening or the nighttime, you are part of a family of people who we rely on in order to survive. And what I'm asking you to do is to just look now at the relationship that you have with this radio station and make a decision as to whether its survival and the fact that it can flourish with the simplest of actions on your part, which is to simply pick up a phone and donate $10 or $25, or if you want the concert DVD, $40. You just pick up the phone and you make the call to 212-209-2950, and you will be part of the family in a way that you haven't been before. So let me watch and see that one of you out there is going to do that now. Out of whatever the potential listenership is at this moment, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 of you. It is simply up to you as an individual who recognizes that you have a relationship with this radio station to continue that relationship in a way that is meaningful and that will allow the radio station to be able to be on the air because you have done something to support it and to keep it going when countless thousands of others don't care, never will, and have no interest. But you are there, and we need you to call 212-209-2950. Come on, let me see you do it. One person, pick up the phone and make the call. 212-209-2950. Let me see one person do that at 1:30 in the morning when we can welcome a new radio station that has just joined us, which is...
Oh, yes, WJFF in Jeffersonville.
Liberty.
Liberty. Grahamsville?
And Grahamsville.
Grahamsville.
Come on, one person. We're still waiting for one person to pick up the phone and make that call. Still waiting for one person to do that. Come on, you can do it. You have to do it. You can see by the fact that no one is doing it that it's got to be you who is going to do it.
We need you and you need us. It is both ways. It's a dual relationship. You must be getting something out of it, so please show your support.
Abby Smith. I'd also like to make a special request to performers. I know a lot of you insomniac performers out there who still listen week in, week out, and who have cut your performing teeth on Bob's show over the years. Bob has always been a friendly, welcoming, loving nurturer of new artists. And besides having a relationship to this incredible station and institution, there's a relationship to Bob Fass, who has been an incredible support to struggling artists, particularly artists who are trying to meld, you know, a message with their art. And there were times historically when many doors were closed for this kind of art, and Bob welcomed these kinds of artists with open arms. And now is your time to show Bob your love and to show the station your love and to come forth.
And that's what Bob has stood for 40 years.
That's right. That's right.
So won't you show your support now? Just a small contribution will be noticed and appreciated. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 212-209-2950.
When I came back from the West Coast, I was brought up in New York after I came from Europe, but I spent many years on the West Coast, the Upper West Coast, the Bay Area, which is, of course, where I knew Lou, and I first heard Bob Fass. And I realized that the concept that we had proffered when KPFA opened was what Bob Fass represented on this coast. And it was such a joy. And he welcomed me on the air. And I've been on the air with him ever since, which is now nearly 50 years, periodically. And, you know, the stations the concept, everything has changed, but the central idea of having a non-commercial, listener-sponsored entity of any kind of medium was so rare, and still is, that that's what you are helping to keep going. And survival is all that this station needs. We don't need to make anybody rich or even famous. What we need is to have a channel that communicates with you on a daily basis in ways that explicate values which we share with the listener. And if there are some things that you don't agree with, that is a test that the station is doing what it needs to do. It needs to reflect all aspects of our civilization. As we have discussed with Bob many times, the words of Lord Buckley, who said, people are the true flowers of life, and it has been my privilege to live in the garden. 201. See, I keep saying the wrong number.
You're giving your own phone number.
It's 212-209-2950. But I'm getting your attention with that other number, right? You all know it's the wrong number.
I was just in the back room talking to Reggie and Richie Hirsch, and somehow subject of Leonard Cohen came up. And I was just this week, I gave a little short interview to someone who's doing a book on Leonard Cohen. We may do a Leonard Cohen special before the marathon is over.
That'd be wonderful.
And we remembered that it was Judy Collins who introduced Leonard Cohen to us. And I have a couple of songs, actually one song by Judy Collins and Leonard Cohen, the same song, and it's kind of interesting to see how they both handle the Sisters of Mercy.
All the Sisters of Mercy, they are not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort, and later they brought me their song. Oh, I hope you run into them, you who've been traveling so long.
Sleeping, I hope you run into them soon.
And it won't make me jealous if I learn that they sweetened your night. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right. We weren't lovers like that, and besides, it would still be all right.
The sisters of mercy, they are not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I just can't go on. And they brought me their comfort, and later they brought me this song. To them, you who've been traveling so long. Yes, you who must leave everything that you cannot control. It begins with your family, but soon it comes round to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging, and I think I can see how you're pinned. When you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned.
Abby Smith, who's sitting right here, and I was telling her earlier about the anthology that Judith Sokoloff and I are doing of Chag Sameach, poems for Jewish holidays, and one of them is by Leonard Cohen, a really beautiful Jewish holiday poem, a very interesting mix that Cohen has in his affiliation with Judaism and his affiliation with Zen Buddhism, quite a combination.
I remember what my father said when he saw one of Leonard Cohen's books. Flowers for who?
I have a DVD of his concert in London, which I think is one of the finest concert DVDs I've ever come across. I hope some of you people have seen it and listened to it. The band that he had with him was just gorgeous.
The same one that played with it, Radio City Music. Yes,
exactly.
And toured Europe with.
And Israel, and yes.
What's amazing at the Leonard Cohen concert is you see people our age. By our age, I mean 65, 70,
80.
But you also see people in their 20s.
That's right.
And you see people from all over the world.
And you see a full house.
And you see a full house. And I've seen him live 3 times, and if I have the opportunity, I'll see him 3 more. I love his concerts. Have you ever heard of a song that has a big klezmer flavor to it called The Window?
No.
It's on an album that never caught on real big. It's called New Songs. But I was telling Abby it has some imagery from the Gospel of John, the first verse about the Word. But the music that accompanies this beautiful song has a klezmer flavor to it. It's actually available on YouTube. The Window, it's called.
We have 2 more subscriptions. Dr. Joseph Hederman of Staten Island, thank you very much. And now say ah. And Errol Smith of Maple Avenue in Montclair. And he wants to subscribe in honor of Bernard White.
Huh.
So, I guess the history should be honored, but I would say, in my opinion, and it is my hope that that era of Bernard White, perhaps I would call it the era, is past.
I never knew him, but any human being deserves some honor. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. And if I may say so, I loved when he did Wake Up Call. So he was an excellent host of Wake Up Call.
I would like to do a morning program on WBAI, but it wouldn't be Wake Up. It would really be like Roll Over and Go Back to Sleep for the unemployed. You know, I would say a lot of our listeners are probably unemployed now. And why should they get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to hear dismal news? No. Roll Over, Go Back to Sleep, rest up. You may have to go out and look for a job eventually, but, you know, the bed is warm and...
And some of them are not just unemployed, but some of our listeners are probably unemployable. I feel that I'm unemployable. Who's going to give me a job? I wasn't even looking for one. Well, I haven't had a 9-to-5 for a long time.
Yeah, I made most of my living as a secretary when I worked, and especially all the years that I did temp work, it was such a setup because when you do temp work, you're usually in that job because the boss was too much of a mamza to hold down a regular secretary. So then to put me in
that. Sure, he doesn't have to give you benefits. He doesn't have to give you anything.
But then to put me. To put someone
have to
like.
Give you overtime.
Yeah, but then to put someone with my personality
in a position like that, you know, was kind of a setup. Talk about unemployable.
Hey, you probably did a good job.
No, but I mean, like, you know, they want clones. They want passive clones, and I was a little more active than that.
The passive clones have it, right, somewhere. I haven't met one for a long time.
It's not easy working for lawyers, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's not easy having a lawyer to work for you either.
That's true. You really know why Shakespeare had that famous quote, you know.
First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, the guy who says that is not exactly an admirable guy.
Who says that?
You know, he's a sort of a...
Which one?
In the play where that is said, I think it's...
Is that Richard?
Titus?
Titus Andronicus.
Oh, is that who said it? Oh,
I think, no, he didn't.
I didn't remember.
So I'm sure somebody knows, somebody who's listening
person.
Knows what Shakespeare played.
Okay, here's a challenge.
That line comes from and under what circumstances.
Call us immediately and tell us.
Yes.
You know the number 212-209-2950.
Let's prove us how smart you are.
Well, actually, there are people. The number you gave is the pledge number, which we would like people to call to pledge their support to WBAI.
But they could also tell us who that character was who said that, emoted it.
Yeah, he killed two birds with one stone.
We're not bird killers on the station.
Oh, excuse me. I don't mean kill. I didn't really mean kill.
I know you didn't mean it.
You could tickle two birds with one stone. I don't know.
Well, there's another caller, 212-209-2950.
And the tally has moved.
Tally has moved somewhat, but we'd like to get it off the ground. It's still under $1,000, under $500, as a matter of fact.
This is a Shonda.
This is
a mention.
212-209-2950. Really, it doesn't take that much effort. It isn't even that expensive when you think about it, because if you like, you can spread the cost of your subscription and your premium over the course of a year. You can pay minimal amounts every month, and you can be part of the elect.
Yes, you can transfer from Shonda to Mitzvah.
Wow, that's a big leap.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
You'd think we didn't have anything better to do than to extract a little guilt instead of just guilt from you, right?
Guilt for guilt.
Anyway, did we talk enough about Lou Hill, Bob?
I have a question to ask you.
Yes.
Why did he kill himself?
Oh, you really opened
a can of worms?
A can of worms, female worms.
Really?
Female
worms?
Yes. Lou had a problem.
With the ladies?
With the ladies. He was eternally and ever attracted. At one time, he had rather more like four important relationships going
at the same time.
In addition to his beloved wife, and I mean that seriously, he and his wife were very much in love. And eventually, his adoration for the gender got him in a lot of trouble, and he wound up putting his car in the garage with a hose attached to it and did himself in. And it was, must say, a totally disillusioning experience. Here's a guy who told me I was a typical Jewish anarchist.
Right.
And, you know, and I had to get my act together. And I did get my act together, and I was never an anarchist, you know, in that sense of the at that time, the New York anarchists, a lot of them had moved to San Francisco, as a matter of fact. I had been a garden counselor at Camp Kinderveld, you know, which is the worker circles. I had a little association, but I was certainly, like Lou, a pacifist and a libertarian. But he could sense everybody's supposed weaknesses and hammer them down to you so that you felt that he was doing you a big favor, right? It was a very friendly thing to do. But he was a specialist at attracting people who couldn't get along with each other and then letting them fight. Our meetings, staff meetings were continual seeds of totally arbitrary confusion argument, arguments which didn't need to be had.
Seems like that's the tradition that's continued at WBAI.
I was just thinking that, setting the precedent.
Absolutely. It was the precedent at KPFA.
But you know what's ridiculous is that these days, I don't know if you know, there are groups called polyamorous, who have, institutionalized non-monogamy, and, made it a perfectly legitimate lifestyle choice. And, maybe Lou just wasn't meant to be monogamous. And, damn, does that mean he had to off himself?
No, it didn't mean that he had to off himself. He got into a desperate situation where his feelings of probity didn't equal the mess he'd gotten himself into.
Probity?
P-R-O-B-I-T-Y.
Wow.
Because he was a very sensitive human being, to tell you the truth, and he couldn't take it anymore, even though he was responsible. Mm. He was responsible for creating a big mess for his family and for the rest of the crowd that he had become enamored of. And you're right. This is a different period.
Yeah.
This is the 50s and 60s, the early 60s, late 50s. I think I may have known him since the 40s, actually. It was a childhood sweetheart, his wife.
So this was one of the early skirmishes of the sexual revolution?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And it was a very disillusioning experience because this guy was brilliant and it was never, never expected. I mean, it was totally shocking experience for a huge amount of people. We had, in those days, we had paid staff. But we had many, many, many volunteers. The station was crammed with volunteers, and they were very devoted. The programming was high-end stuff.
We have some very, very loyal and very dedicated volunteers who are sitting around right now in the tally room waiting for the phone to ring. And it's not out of the question for it to start ringing now, to start ringing off the wall, to start ringing
off the hook.
Off the hook. That's one of our better programs.
Right.
Off the hook. 212-209-2950. Give us a call. Give us your support. And we'll continue to try and struggle to present the kind of radio to you that you you have trouble finding anyplace else.
Yeah, who else would call a program unnameable? I mean, you remember that there's lots of name stuff. You remember that old song?
The name game.
Well, I was thinking, what were their names? Tell me, what were their names? The boys that went down on the good old Reuben James. That'll take you back.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Judy Collins before. Judy Collins and Bob Dylan were performing at a Woody Guthrie concert. and that song was sung.
Yes.
And Dylan leaned over and said something to Judy Collins, and she giggled. And afterwards I said, "What did he say?" And she said, "He said, what were their names?"
that does sound like a Dylan question. I'll never forget, we're doing a big multimedia show up in the Woodstock Artist place, and I'm handling...
We have passed the $500 mark.
Cool.
Okay, right? We're great. On our way to $1,000.
Hey!
212-209-2950.
Come on, all you high rollers out there. Let's lay some cash
out.
Give
us the lowdown, you high rollers.
So I'm handling about 4 projectors, and Michael's doing the sound. We're doing all the stuff, and Bob comes up behind me, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he says, "Gerd, explain to me how you're doing what you're doing." I look at him, and I said, "Bob, would I interrupt you when you're playing or singing?" And he looked at me kind of funny and split. And that was that kind of question. What were their names? But that song came from a real incident.
Well,
the Reuben James.
Yes, it did.
Yes,
it was a merchant seaman.
That's right.
That was sunk in. Where was it? Near Madagascar?
And I remember, here I am a refugee, I was a member of the square dance, of the Margot Mayo square dance group. And Margot was a good friend of Pete Seeger's, and she took me down to meet Woody when he was living on a boat, I believe in the East River. You beat that? Margot Mayo, yeah, I hadn't thought about it. We danced at the opening of the United Nations, and in that place in Rockefeller Center where they skate, I danced the Texas Star, and my father was pissed at me because I got home too late. He couldn't understand the whole trip, you know. Square dance, what kind of step is that, right?
212-209-2950. Be a part of history tonight. Come on.
And herstory.
And herstory. And herstory. And
whoostery. 212-209-2950. Show your support. You know there's no other place like this. It's unique. I'll even say that with KPFA notwithstanding. Yeah. That's another probably unique thing of its kind.
You know, I lived out there for a couple of years. I didn't transplant well, though.
Really?
They kept saying to me, "Abby, I used to, like, audition for the role of roommate out there, you know, because you have group houses. So then, you know, you'd answer an ad in the East Bay Express, and then you'd audition for the role of roommate. They'd ask you questions, and I'd answer. And they'd look at me, and they'd go, "Abby, you're so New York.
We are foreigner.
You're so New York, like that was a disease." And I'd go something I'd say, an expletive deleted that I can't say right now. And I'd assert, "Yes, I am a New Yorker. Ich bin ein New Yorker. Proud New Yorker." And then I left Berkeley choking on the smoke from the many bridges I had burned. I came running back to New York to burn new bridges.
Oh, yeah, that's a... What is that? What for? Cat fur.
What?
What for? Cat fur to make kitten bridges. That's a California expression which I collected in... Eureka, California. My mother-in-law at the time, who lived in Eureka, had won the Betty Crocker
Bake-off
with her Eureka, I have found it cake.
And what did that consist of?
It was delicious.
Yeah?
It was really delicious. And they paid her way to Chicago. Here's this woman who had never left. Eureka, she was quite something. That was Esther.
That was a gold mining town, right? Hence the expression? No.
The gold mining town, Eureka?
Yeah.
No, it's a fishing town and a lumber town.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought Eureka was the exclamation, the universal exclamation when you know,
that's
you struck.
That's true. You're right. I don't think there were any gold right close by. Right now, all the gold is coming from growing you know what.
What?
You know what, what?
Oh.
That stuff, you know.
Botanicals.
Humboldt County is the largest producer.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
well, now they have that whole industry with the medical marijuana.
New Jersey's not finally a reason to move to New Jersey.
Really? Yes.
Well, with the doctor's note, yeah.
Well, you have to be very, very sick.
Yes.
You know? All this.
Well, there's an incentive.
They made. The hippies really made it very. They gave medical marijuana a bad name by saying that it was fun.
Yeah.
You see.
Six Semper Tyrannus.
Yeah. Pol Pot gave pot a bad name.
Okay, we want to make a special shout out to all you folks that know exactly what we're talking about here. And as you enjoy your horticultural endeavors, we'd like you to take some of the green stuff out of your pocket and put it towards the station here. 212?
212 is right.
209.
That's also right.
So much pressure. 2950.
You know, anything that ends with a zero, you can send here, and we will welcome it into our cash reserve.
Yeah, as long as there's a number before the zero.
Yes. You know, can you imagine this place, after all this time, actually paid its rent? You know, not everybody lives at 120 Wall Street.
This man, I want you should know, our brother Bob schleps here week after week after month after year, every friggin' week. In the cold, in the slush, in the rain, to be here with you.
And he's not a mailman.
And he's not even he doesn't even go postal on us.
Mailmen are paid. This is unpaid
Bob. Come on. Get off your duff and get the money out. 212-209-2950.
Hey, it's a great team, isn't it?
I mean, it's very effective.
How come everybody knows who we are and this is unnameable? I mean, we're all named.
Ask
Beckett.
But it's better to be named.
It's the irony.
It's better to be named than maimed.
212-209-2950. Come
on. That's the number. That's the number. You'll be hearing it for the better part of the month.
You could do
it. But you can act now and put yourself out of the misery of having to listen
to it. That's right.
212-209.
How do you look at yourself in the mirror knowing?
Well, it was Henry VI.
Henry VI.
He was researching.
Uh-huh.
It was Henry VI. First thing we'll do, let's kill all the lawyers. Now, this is not, it isn't, you know, just ordinary mayhem against lawyers because they're sharks. It's because someone wanted to have a revolution. Mm. And if you have no one who can make laws but lawyers. At least that was the thought. But it's from Henry VI.
I mean, can you imagine having six Henrys on one throne? And we don't even have a throne in this country. Thank the Lord. Have mercy. What? Are we going to play any of Abby's records?
We could. Has an I Ching been thrown?
Oh, hey.
Not tonight.
Yes. I don't have any yarrow sticks with me.
You'd use coins.
I know, but I never like that. You know, I'm not a guy who has a lot of small change.
You made some big changes in your life.
Absolutely.
You were with Allen Ginsberg and Carl Solomon.
In the Psychiatric Institute.
You want to tell that story?
We have a lot of three patients, right? I was there first. Carl was there second. Carl came wandering in one day, having thrown potato salad in Mark, in what was his name? Hey, how do you like that? Hey, I'm failing with names. Wallace Markfield. Wallace Markfield was lecturing at NYU, and Carl had just come back from being a merchant mariner in Paris, and he threw a whole plate of potato salad, and he wound up in Psychiatric Institute. He came walking in. He had a blue shirt, blue pants, blue shoes, and he was carrying in each arm about six books. And when I stuck out my hand, he dropped all the books. He looked at me and he said, "Explain yourself." And we had a good time for a long time. And then Alan showed up. And we got very mischievous. Alan had never done some of the things we do, and we had to introduce him to them. And I was able to go out for weekends. They were dangerous, right? So because of me trying to accommodate their desires, they turned me into the authorities because they had learned from reading Jean Genet, who turned in his confederates, and I got thrown out. But it was a really...
You got thrown out of the madhouse.
That's right.
But Carl Solomon stayed there. And
he did. He had shock.
He had shock treatment.
Shock. And, you know, the history goes on and on. But I was ready to leave, to tell you the truth.
Well, you weren't there really for... you were there for dietary reasons.
Well, in a sense, what happened was my uncle, the doctor, sent me to the psychiatrist who told me that, it's okay, I'll talk to you this once. Your father can't afford me. Oh, isn't that nice? he says, but I'll tell you what to do. He says, this psychiatric institute is looking for interesting patients, and you're interesting, you're a poet. The only thing I know that's wrong with you is malnutrition. So go and turn yourself into the Psychiatric Institute and tell them you're a poet and that you did something, you felt like you were doing something awful, you were going to commit suicide or something, some story, and you'll be there and they'll feed you well and they'll give you some consultation and you'll be interested in the rest of the patients that are there and it'll be good for you. Okay. I tell them I'm driving my burnt-out willies along the West Side Highway, and I feel like going over into the Hudson and killing myself. Oh! And I read them a couple of poems, and I'm in.
Oh.
In with Flynn, right? Like we used to say. And that's the story. And as they're throwing me out, I have my last consultation with the psychiatrist I see once a week, Dr. Hambidge. Wonderful guy. He says to me, "Look, I'm a Freudian. I'm not supposed to give you any advice. I listen to you. That's it. However, since I'm never going to see you again, and this last time I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to give you some advice. It's against my professional training." Says, "You can't live both the life that you want to live and the life your father wants you to live, you've got to make a choice. I think to myself, fantastic. Very wonderful. Obviously, I'm not going to live the life that my father wants me to live. So it never occurred to me that there was a conflict even, right? Onward. And here I am, much later. That was in the 40s. And Alan and Carl stayed there for a while. Then Carl wound up, years and years later, after he'd been an editor for his uncle, A.A. Wynn, in the in Rockland County Hospital, where Alan and Jack went to make him sign a disclaimer that he would never sue, because in Howell, Alan had said that he did it with his mother, using the word that we can't say on this station or any other station, and it wasn't even true. I mean, probably Carl had said it, but that didn't mean it was true, because Carl was a character. I mean,
shock value.
In between the two times he was in the hospital, we were in the San Remo together, and he really was mischievous, and this blind man came in saying, I need to go to the men's room, and Carl went and took him where I figured he took him, you know. He came back, and I said, Carl, that's so unlike you to do something like that for the blind man. He said, unlike me? I took him to the women's room.
You know, it's outrageous that at 2:15 in the morning, we can't read Hal on the radio, and yet there are graphic advertisements for products that cure erectile dysfunction. And I've heard, have you heard the advertisements for Trojans?
Yeah, I've seen.
You know,
I don't get it. Not just there are videos.
I don't get it. I don't get it. 2:20 in the morning, we can't read.
Let me tell you that that CD that I suggested that anybody who would give the station, was it, what was it, $40, that I would provide them with, that has a total rendition of Howl on it, with the bad words.
Bob, before they changed the law, I believe you played the entire Howl. I'm sure I heard it on Radio Unnameable.
We did a whole lot. We used to do a whole lot more. And actually, I've seen movies on Channel 13 at 9 p.m. before the so-called Safe Harbor Hour, where there are graphic depictions and words that are graphic, one after another, with no disclaimer at the beginning of the movie.
What about The New Yorker? How does The New Yorker, in a recent issue, in one of those little comic episodes that take up one page, the F word is said in there in different declensions about 8 times. It's supposed to be funny. I didn't think it was funny, and I'm a New Yorker reader. I don't have any problems with those words, but how do they get away with it?
Well, the New Yorker is not licensed by the Federal Communications Commission.
Exactly.
Not only the New Yorker, 97.9.
Leave your watch.
I listen to the Spanish station, 97.9, sometimes in the morning, because I lived in Spain, and I like to listen to the language, but they use words, translation of which would be banned by the FCC. You couldn't say the same words in English. I mean,
Exactamente.
But they get away with it. Double entendres, explicit use of...
And for all those who love feeling those words roll off your lips, now is the time to come to the aid of your countrymen and dial 212 209-2950. If you can't do the whole $100, do part of it. Do 50, do 40, do 30. Just pull that, you know, pull that instead of going to the movies this week. This is your movie.
You're seeing that $18 movie?
Yeah, I mean, between the popcorn and the soda and the parking.
Avatarded.
Avatarded.
What other program can you call up and speak for 20 minutes about Iraq when you know nothing about what you're talking about? As one frequent caller to this program who is given a lot of time, I hope he's listening and I hope he calls up and sends in
off the air, you mean?
Some money off the air. I don't want to have to listen to his talking, his Fox talking points. Anyway, this is Radio Unnameable, and people, if you're like me, if you've been listening to this program for more than 40 years, if it's part of your life, if you remember when if you remember when Radio Unnameable was on five nights a week, and you could wake up in the middle of the night and turn on the radio and Bob Fast was there, and then you never got back to sleep because the programs were
too
interesting.
Interesting, absolutely. Between him and then and Steve and his comrade Steve Post, all of them.
Yep.
There was a happy cabal.
And David Amram.
And David.
Well, of course, I meant to play Pull My Daisy by David Amram, which, by way of saying that David Amram is in the hospital now. Yes, he has a blood clot on his leg, and although he's in intensive care, he's, like, busy writing poetry and declaiming about Neil Cassidy and sending out emails. So I was going to play Pull My Daisy, but I seem to have played the wrong card. But I might be able to find the right one.
Some Oops-a-Daisy.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah. This might be it. Wrong again.
Watch, I can hang my Jesus
blood. This CD keeps bouncing.
It's always the CD, you know?
You own the thousands of people to the station and you can get a CD player that works.
This might be it. It keeps re-queuing to the first cut. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David, if you're listening. That's not your... It's nice music, but it's not your nice music. So, I would too.
tip my cup, all my doors are open. Hop my heart for coconuts, all my eggs are broken. Hop my heart, heart my life, Zero's hope is steady. Hit my angel, heart my life, lay it on the needy. Hop my heart, heart my life, Zero's hope is steady. Hit my angel, heart my light, lay it on the needy. Well, when Jack and Neil and Al and I wrote this song back in 1959, we never thought it would be a music fest tonight. And seeing all of you at this beautiful place on this August Eve is out of sight. Because the music has been going all the daytime as well. And in the afternoon we have nothing to sell, because there's only the stories of the music to tell. And that really is truly all right, because Music Fest is the best. You could come in short pants or a cocktail and vest. It doesn't matter how you dress anyway, because the sunshine in your heart brings each brand new day. The spirit of what it is all about. And if Jack himself were here, he'd be sitting in on the cougar drums and sharing in this cosmic cheer. Because they used to make all the words of music up to, just like now we're going to do. It's called improvising or spontaneity, and you can do it without having to pull your daisy, because it's so much fun. You won't have to worry about the battles that are lost or the ideas that are won, because it comes in its natural way. There's not really too much left to say, except that if you think that the 1950s were a drag, you're probably right, but still was, they were out of sight because they had a different type of bag. We all used it together like this August beautiful weather. Whether you were from Pennsylvania, New York, didn't matter anything. It only meant that you had spent part of your tether. You were tethered to the rope of reality. It was also connected with spontaneity. There's not much more that we have to say, because now we can hear Mr. Victor's play. Tip my cup, all my doors are open. Hop my heart for coconuts, all my eggs are broken. Hop my heart, heart my life, Cyril's hope is steady. Hit my angel, heart my life, lay it on the needy. Hop my heart, heart my life, Cyril's hope is steady. Hit my angel, heart my life, lay it on the needy. And That's the way they used to scat sing back in 1952.
As her car speeds along the road, she's been driving 13 hours and she can't take the pace. And all she's thinking is she wants to go home, where her son is there waiting for his mama to come, make him supper, then put him to bed. But her legs are all cramped and her back is all achy, and the throb is moving up to her head. Oh, Lucy, you could take it, you could take it. Oh, Lucy, a year ain't so far. Oh, Lucy, you could make it, you could make it, till you pay off all the money and you own your car. Well, she's whizzing down the highway and her nerves are all wired, cause it's coffee keeping her awake. But there's something going wrong, cause the car is slowing down and her foot isn't nowhere near the brake.
Well, she's out of gas on the FDR. Should she stay there or should she leave the car? Then a couple's up beside her and she thinks she's safe, but he writes her a ticket as she rants and raves. Oh, Lucy, you could take it, you could take it. Oh, Lucy, a year ain't so far. Oh, Lucy, you could make it, you could make it till you pay off all the money and you own your car. She's a cab driving mama and she knows all the streets of the Apple and the BBQs. And she's usually pretty friendly to the people that she meets, except the nasty ones. She makes them pay their dues. And although she's been a mother for the last 10 years and today she's only 25, she lives her own life and she sheds no tears. She's together and that ain't no jive. Oh, Lucy, you could take it, you could take it. Oh, Lucy, a year ain't so far. Oh, Lucy, you could make it, you could make it till you pay off all the money and you own your car. Oh, Lucy, you could take it, you could take it. Oh, Lucy, a year ain't so far. Oh, Lucy, you could make it, you could make it till you pay off all the money and you own your car. Oh, Lucy, you could take it, you could take it. Oh, Lucy, a year ain't so far. Oh, Lucy, you could make it, you could make it till you pay off all the money and you own. You pay up all the money and you own your car.
I've tried to live being true to my form, but I couldn't submit to the rules of the norm. I tried to please mama by settling down, but it just made me restless. Run into town. Oh, but where is it written where one thing in life, when those in the know say we're 2 and each 10? I want a husband and I want a wife. Sometimes I want women, sometimes I want men. Now my husband is special, claims he understands that the calls of my wild can't be met just by a man. My girlfriend's impatient, she wants to know when I'll be with her. Only give up on men. Oh, but where is it written where one thing in life, when those in the know say 2 and each 10? I want women, sometimes I want men. Now to hear my complaint may leave you feeling cold, 'cause you think that I'm selfish and greedy. Oh, but there's folks like me out here despite all the choices, and only gay or you're straight. Oh, and where is it written where one thing in life, when those in the know say we're 2 and each 10? No, I want a husband and I want a wife. Sometimes I want women, sometimes I want men. So what will it take to win? assert our true selves. The answer is there if the questioner doubts. Yes, as Kinsey discovered, the answer's not new. So where on that spectrum we locate you?
Joe Landy is here.
My sister came home from college. She's my older sister, the one that turned me on to the Beatles when I was a kid. And she came home from college that first semester, and in her room, the music came out of. I wasn't allowed in there. But I heard this voice. And the stories he was telling, and it just resonated. And he played songs like, "Is there anybody here who'd like to change his clothes into a uniform? Is there anybody here? He thinks he's only serving in a desert storm. Is there anybody here with glory in his eye, loyal to the end, whose duty is to die? I want to see him. I want to wish him love. I want to shake his hand. Want to call his name. Put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here who'd like to wrap the flag around an early grave? Is there anybody here who thinks he's standing taller on a battle wave? Is there anybody here who'd love to do his part? Soldier to the world and a hero to his heart. I want to see him. I want to wish him luck. I want to shake his hand. Want to call his name. Put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here so proud of the parade who'd love to give him a cheer, show he's not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody here who thinks that following the orders takes away the blame? Is there anybody here who wouldn't mind a murder by another name? Is there anybody here whose pride is on the line with the honor of the brave and the courage of the blind? I want to see him. I want to wish him luck. I want to shake his hand, want to call his name, put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here so proud of the parade who'd love to give a cheer, show he's not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody here who thinks that following the orders takes away the blame? Is there anybody here who wouldn't mind a murder by another name? Is there anybody here pride is on the line with the honor of the brave and the courage of the blind? I want to see him. I want to wish him luck. I want to shake his hand. Want to call his name. Put a medal on the man. Put a medal on the man.
One of my favorite songs of his. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You want to do one of yours? Or
yes, and I heard Phil talking to me one night. I was in Western Pennsylvania in 2004. It was a swing state and ended up voting not red. And there were many stories probably as to why that happened, and I heard a voice talking to me, and I just wrote it down. And I heard a lot of country and western music in Western Pennsylvania. And so you have to imagine the song starts with a pedal steel guitar. Like that. Well, you stole yourself into my life about 4 years ago. You said you were a patriot and friend. Ah, but what I've learned about you, I didn't want to know. It's time for this relationship to end. You said that I could trust you and you would take care of me, my future and my family secure. Then you gave our money to your friends. You made a fool of me. And now I can't believe you anymore. You took away my overtime, my worker dignity, disenfranchised voters and their civil liberty. And now you're leading in the polls. I bet you think you're smart with broken promises and broken hearts. 9/11 ripped our lives. Our neighbors helped us grieve, but you used it as a chance to call for war. A war without an ending. That's what you'd have me believe. The world cannot be safer than before. But you lied about the weapons, about WMD. You took my only son away. You sent him overseas. Now I hear he's disappeared. His car was blown apart with broken promises and broken heart. You hide your conversations in that private oval room. You take the flower of our youth and you march them to their doom. And now you say we have to stay. Finish what you start with broken promises and broken hearts. Now you ask me to believe. Trust you once again. You tell me that you deserve 4 more years. And anyone who disagrees is un-American. Spinning information and our fears. You lied about our future, just like you lied about your past. Lie about resources we are counting on to last. Your legacy will be DC, perfected to an art with broken
broken promises and broken hearts. Broken promises and broken hearts.
Joel Landy. Joel. Now here's part of your reward, Kirk Kelly.
Thank you. The reward.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to see through the rising smoke of the books that you'd like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow. When I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, you've given me a number, and you've taken off my name. Get across this campus, why I almost need a plan. You're supporting Jack Ishek, and I'm supporting Mal. When I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, you'd like to be my father, and you'd like to be my dad. Give me kisses when I'm good, and spank me when I'm bad. But since I left my parents, I've forgotten how to bow. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, I wish that you'd make up your mind. I'd wish that you'd decide. Bound to live as freely as those that live outside. We are all entitled to the rights to be endowed. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, things, they might be different if I were here alone. But I've got a friend or two no longer lives alone. Well, respect our elders just as long as we're allowed. When I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, I've read of other countries where the students took a stand, even helped to overthrow the leaders of their land. And I wouldn't go so far to say I'm also learning how. When I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Well, actually, I guess you all know a strike just ended today, right? But there's also another strike going on, which is why I chose this particular song. The graduate student workers at NYU are on strike. And they still need all of your support. So most of them are at home celebrating the holidays right now, but they're going to be back in January, and they're going to need your support out on the picket line, and they're going to need your support making phone calls to John Sexton, the president or chancellor or whatever he is at NYU. So this is for them. This is for the Graduate Student Organizing Committee at NYU. Yeah. Well, I am a student worker, and I have to earn to learn. But it's hard to see through the rising smoke of the books that you'd like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow. When I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
You have another song you're gonna do, Kirk Kelly?
Yes. This is called
Hooray. Well, oh, we'll keep you in suspense. Yeah, that all Phil Oaks.
W-I-N-S, Phil Oaks.
We're looking for you to pledge. Come on, this is serious. This is a marathon. This is a fundraiser for WBAI. You know that you need the station, just like we need you, the listeners. It's a two-way street, as Gerd was saying.
It's a dialectic.
That's exactly right. I wasn't going to wax so doctrinaire, but yes, it is a dialectic. Not to be confused with a dielectric, because you might... a dialectical process, right.
Yeah.
It's dynamic, it's in motion, there's a dichotomy there. You need us, but we need you. So why don't you show your support by calling 212-209-2950. We only have, about 40 minutes at best.
Think of all the artists. Think of all the songs that you first heard on Radio Unnameable. The first time you heard Alice's Restaurant, where was it?
That's right. He performed it right here, Thanksgiving. It was, let's see, was it 66 or 67? Probably 66.
What was the first show Bob Dylan appeared on live and actually did skits?
Actually, I don't think it was Unnameable, but it was close to being on radio.
I think
somebody actually...
It was with Snow on the Roof. Remember the first time you heard Abbie Hoffman show up and talking with Bob? Remember those days of Abbie?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I think
the other
we...
Abbie.
Yes, the other Abbie, right. We have an Abbie here.
The original.
Right in this room. In fact, you two knew each other.
Well, I ran into him.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I met Ronald Reagan's Coming to Town was when he was also still active. And we... Okay. Hey, you're on the air, WBAI.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Gerd. Hi, Robbie.
Oh, Gerd's out of the room now.
Oh, okay.
But let's see. Abby's here. Lewis is here. And Richard, who made that video that you only heard the sound of.
Well, that the sound quality was great on that. Mm-hmm.
That was done 4 years ago when it was webcast at the time.
That was what you just played part of it?
Yes, it was.
Actually, the sound we did ourselves from the DAT because we couldn't count on WBAI doing sound.
But it was webcast, though. Maybe not. Not
it
the,
was.
Yeah,
it was
not,
webcast.
Not the
but
you heard. Okay.
But the sound from there is from our own DAT.
Okay.
You just didn't want them to tape over something else that was also valuable.
Well, if you consider our work valuable, that's something else.
Yeah, but. They used to erase lots of stuff on reel to reel that way. Anyway, You, Fred, have been instrumental in getting this monstrous idea on the map to be exposed to the light of day, namely the potential ruining of our water supply, serving 18 million people or so. That's all due to the greed of
the Petroplex.
Petroplex, yeah. And you have a premium that you actually helped put together. And I hope you're going to describe it now. We haven't actually settled on what we should ask for this premium.
Well, let me describe first what it is. And there are two different DVDs. And let me just say that your premium tonight was so good that I didn't bother, calling in earlier. Maybe we can hit it a little harder next week. The music has really been great. That's a great production. But the two DVDs that are available... number one is, I've been mentioning Damascus Citizens from Pennsylvania, the group that's been trying to protect the water on the other side of the Delaware River. And it's Barbara Arundel and Joe Levine are co-founders, along with Pat Carrillo, of that group, DamascusCitizens.org. And one of them is a 28-minute DVD. Both of these programs are on one DVD.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.
One DVD is by the woman who founded the organization that I've been mentioning called called Endroken.
No, almost. Endocrine.
Endocrine disruption. also .org. Dr. Theo Colburn, she's in her 80s, and just a tireless woman. She founded this group, which is now has a group of scientists and folks. And the name of that DVD is What You Need to Know About Natural Gas Production, and that one is 47 minutes. We also have the okay from her to provide some other DVDs, which I'll forward down to you, that maybe we can add next week. I'll make sure that Tony Bates gets a copy.
Well, that'd be great, because we haven't really cataloged all these yet, but I'm sure that any premiums like that will be snapped up as soon as we play them.
Well, I'll also get a copy to make sure that you have something to play. I'll get a copy to Bob and get a copy to you also, so in case you don't have it in the pledge room or in the studio, that you'll have a personal copy.
Okay.
And those are the two premiums. So I don't know what you want to do with price above basic membership.
Yeah. Do we have the audio of any of that here now?
I have this fits with a comment earlier. This is the very beginning of the Dr. Colburn's DVD.
So the first one was Living with Gas.
Hello, everyone. What a crazy world we live in. I'll bet that everyone in this room knows what ED is, erectile dysfunction. You do because it has proven profitable to pour millions into making you aware of it. But there is another ED out there into which millions have also been poured to keep a secret, and that is endocrine disruption. Corporations discourage the use of the words and testing for endocrine disruption because they produce and sell products that contain chemicals that interfere with the endocrine system and do not want you to know that these chemicals are in the products found in your homes, offices, schools, and automobiles and have penetrated every environment, including the womb, on this planet. Although some
that the chemicals and
product can't stop her. Well, that ED sounds a lot worse.
Well, it is, but it fits with an earlier comment that was made about Viagra or whatever you folks had mentioned before. But it's really such a compelling talk and such great information that she's very, very clear. And actually, she had mentioned, you know, there's a time difference, and I don't know how you could do it, if it could be pre-recorded, or if she would agree to, I don't know what her hours are, but if she could, she's willing to be interviewed. It would be great if she would set up her own DVD in her own words. I mean, I'm sure people are tired of hearing me talk about this. It would be great to have Dr. Colburn, set up the DVD for you personally. So possibly with the time difference, if it was done at the beginning of Radio Unnameable, it would be 9 o'clock, I think, in Colorado. Is it 2 hours or three in Colorado?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
But she...
Two hours difference from Mountain Time. Mountain Time, it's 2 hours, yeah.
That's right, it's Mountain Time. Well, I'll check with her and see if she would do it. And I don't know if there's another way to, if it could be done earlier in the day. But anyway, she's willing to do that. Bob, name your price. It's up to you. You're the one that's been at the forefront of this. It's your premium.
Well, I think you've been at the forefront. I might have been at the three front.
If it weren't for you, Bob, no one would have.
No, you brought it to my attention. And,
well, basic is $25. You know, this shouldn't be an expensive DVD. It's more important to spread the word at this point, or it's as important anyway. You had said $40 for your DVD
for the Phil Oakes memorial. Yeah.
Well, let's make it the same for one DVD and an additional $15 for two DVDs. Does that sound reasonable?
It sounds like you're ready to negotiate. You want to give people a discount for quantity? It's such a slow, such a low number. Come on. If you buy 50 of them.
You're right. Maybe 45 for one and 60 for both. Is that better? You're the decider.
Well, I'm not that good at marketing.
I'm not either.
I haven't had that much experience with the dollars and cents. You know, I'm willing to learn.
Money is not has never failed either.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, we're setting a price for what we call a premium, a piece of packaged documentary or a piece of packaged art, a celebration. But truly, the thing that we would like you to support, the thing that you have to support if you're listening now, is this radio station. This is the radio station that can bring you this kind of material, whether in the form of a premium or programming over the year, programming that some might say was as vital and important in your life as the water you drink. Or the air you breathe.
Maybe we can come up with a price by the time the phone rings. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950.
I know that number.
That's true.
I called it earlier.
We got a call from a subscription, actually, from someone in the WJFF area tonight.
I heard that earlier.
And I wonder how many other people there are in the cold northern mountains who are listening to WBAI right now. I wonder.
Well, maybe we'll find out. Maybe they'll call.
Maybe some will call. You said that you were going to be going on late at night on WJFF. Is that true?
It is true. It's nice of you to mention it.
Nice of you to do it.
Well, I've been on, but in this case, it's our 20th anniversary. Next Friday will be our 20th anniversary, and I'll do a little spot a little after 11 o'clock at night, 11 p.m. We also have a retrospect between 10 and 1 o'clock during the day, but I like the evenings better, so I'll go in. It's a bit looser. That slot is from 11 till 3 in the morning, so I'll spend some time at the station then. And maybe we can give some folks from down there a call, down your way.
That would be wonderful. Can you?
I intend, by the way, on playing some highlight clips of your program, both before and after.
You'd have to say that, right?
I don't have to say that, but people should look forward to that. You know what I'm looking for, Bob, is when Dylan and who was it from? I can't remember now. Izzy Young, playing poker with Bob Dylan. Do you remember that?
No.
Well, it was several years ago. I'll have to search for the tape, but anyway, enough about that. 11 o'clock next Friday night. But I don't know if you got the facts about that I sent down on Josh Fox, who's been on your program.
I did not get the Fox facts.
Well, Josh Fox entered the film on gas drilling. He's been around the country twice in the last several years filming, documenting the effects of natural gas extraction from everywhere from Colorado to New Mexico to Pennsylvania and the whole circle, 24 states, I believe. And he entered a film that I've been referring to folks about to a site called Water Under Attack. That was the working title of the film. The film was entered in Sundance under Gasland, and just very quickly, Gasland, a documentary created by Milanville, PA resident Josh Fox, won the Special Jury Prize for World Documentary at the 2010 Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. The award provides recognition to a film that barely missed the Grand Jury Prize, the festival's most revered honor. And,
well, Amy Goodman featured it the other day, along with what looked like a wonderful film called The Freedom Riders.
Exactly. The competition was extraordinarily tough this year. For him to have a near miss for the grand prize is amazing in itself. But he did. And
well, you know, putting aside the quality of the reporting in the film and the beauty of the horror, it's a very important piece of information for everybody to have.
I haven't seen the film yet, but I think there's a bit of humor mixed in. I mean, it's
well,
just
that's not the only thing that's mixed in with the water.
I know. Well, mercury, arsenic, lead, cobalt. But
and those are just the non-radioactive elements.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And what they said in Variety, just a quick two sentences, a combo of fest and grassroots exhibition with viral networking is part of the picture's goal to push for new federal controls on fracking. But if a film can ever enact social change, which is rare, the potency of Gasland suggests this may be that film. So I certainly wish him luck. I hope he's still celebrating his runner-up prize.
Well, I want to get copies of that film as soon as possible.
I'll speak with Josh as soon as I can. I only tried him once. I hope he's still celebrating. He deserves it. Maybe we can get copies before the end of the fund drive.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. You have fund drives at your station as
well. We'll be having one next week, next month rather. But
you have a very interesting way of doing it. You have a silent fund drive for a few days before, you know, and you say you can shorten the length of the drive by contributing now.
We've shortened it as much as 80%, actually. We send out a mailer a few weeks before the live portion, and usually it says, "We'll be quiet so you can listen." And it brings in you folks have been doing that lately also, mentioning that you can become a member before the fund drive actually starts. I think it's probably doing some good on your end.
Well, I hope so. We have been doing some bad for a long time, and we feel like we've turned things around in a lot of ways.
Radio for a change.
Very difficult and nasty political battle, and it seems to have been resolved in favor of what seemed to me to be the good guys. So,
well, as a listener,
it's because of listener support or lack of it. There was The old administration did not have the support of the listeners that the new one seems to have. And we're very grateful, and we want to continue to deserve your support. So if you want to vote that we continue, the thing to do is to call right now, 212-209-2955. I believe there are some people who can answer the telephone, take your name and address down if you're to be billed. If you have a credit card, you can spread the payments over a long amount of time. And the more people that you can tell about WBAI, you were saying something about that, Garrett, that if you can get every subscriber.
You know, If I'm on?
Yeah.
If I'm on? You know, I think it's a conversion problem. You know, if you can convert the unknown persons who do not listen to the station, who do not know about the station, now, if each one will reach one, you know, if every one of our subscribers, and lots of our subscribers are listening, would reach out for someone, educate him about the station, and get him to donate a few dollars. Now, you know, that's reaching out beyond just talking to you who are listening. And the more members, the more is happening, because it's kind of a turnover and a turnout in order to get turned on.
Well, I have another very short comment from the DVD from Hickory, Pennsylvania. This was from Living with the Gaswells, Real Life Experiences. This is a frustrated farmer who's been overcome by noise and fumes and truck traffic and everything going by his farm.
Like I said, I just want to hear. I feel free. If you don't like it, say so.
I do.
Because what you're saying, we're going to show to the people up in New York State that where this company is going to next, so they can get an idea of what they're going to be up against. So,
you can hear it.
Yeah.
Huh. That's what I got to put up with the whole time. You wouldn't want my opinion. They made the mistake when they let him in here. No, I'm fed up with it.
They made the mistake when they let them in here.
That's powerful stuff, Fred.
Well, it is. It's a great DVD. I hope next week you'll have samples to play from it. And I hope folks that have been listening for the last 2 years would like to hear this information from the horse's mouth rather than me. But anyway, I should jump off and.
It's hard to see in this fax, but it's a picture of Josh Fox turning the faucet on the tap at his home, and.
I'll ask Josh if I can.
He lights the stream that's coming out, and the gas in the water ignites. And
this is part of the video, isn't it, Fred?
It's not part of that video. Oh. I think that Josh would okay just putting that a 10-second clip on. That's part of the film clip package that he gave me before. But naturally, with the film entered in competition, it wasn't allowed by the rules of Sundance for any clips to be shown until after the judging. But I'm sure Josh would agree to include that clip on any further DVDs that I pass on to you. It's amazing.
Just to see that, yeah.
The fellow has trouble lighting it at first, and then finally it lights, and there's a big ball of fire, and he jumps back, and he said, "That's the best I've ever done." It's
true fire water.
Right. Well, anyway, Fred, I'm very grateful to you for keeping on this. What kind of results have these findings had in Albany?
Well, in Albany, I'm not sure, but locally, the EPA from Pennsylvania now has a hotline, and they want citizens to report non-emergency suspicious activity related to oil and natural gas development. In fact, actually, I can give that.
This is Pennsylvania.
That's Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
But a drilling company, Fortuna, based in New York, was just fined $3,500, which is pocket change for these guys, for drilling in it's a New York company that's drilling in Pennsylvania. And they just they just had fluids were found discharging into a drainage ditch. These accidents are going to happen all over. I'll just give one quick fact on this. Even without using chemicals, what happens in the Marcellus Shale, it's rich in a mineral called pyrite, which when it combines with water, forms hydrochloric acid, which then rots out the pipes, the pipe casings. So there's a 50% failure rate in 15 years of any gas well that's drilled. I mean, 50%. Those are the odds. What more do you have to say? We really must stop this, and I think we will. With the help of WBAI.
And WJFF and FRED PCORA.
Well, and the OPFASS.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. And
Thank you, Bob. Maybe you can run some clips earlier next week.
And Rura.
Rura, he's under the quilt. He's sleeping. Thanks, Bob.
In the efforts, in the interest of full disclosure, Fred has a dog. I think he's a dog, actually.
He's a talking dog. He's a genius dog.
Humans are maybe sub him. And he is like a miniature greyhound.
Yes, that's what he is. I was told when he was a puppy that my last dog was smart, but this one is smarter than me, and he's got me trained.
Well, you've taught him how to speak in some intelligible words, and it's almost as though he knows what they mean.
No, he's a mind reader. No, he knows what they mean. He gets a very puzzled look on his face when he doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Well, he says something about frack,
it's past his bedtime now. He's not going to talk. But thanks, Bob, and a great show on the Phil Oaks tribute. And
well, I thank you for getting one, and keep listening.
I sure will. And folks, call in, become a member, and get this information out. As they say, tell a friend to tell a friend. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Fred.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, shall we attempt to communicate? You're on the radio.
Hey, I'm going to make a quick announcement and tell people that there's a benefit for Ray's Candy Store at Sidewalk Cafe. Sidewalk Cafe on Avenue A and 6th Street.
Many of these people who are performing in this Phil Oaks special perform at the Sidewalk Cafe.
Yeah, that's right. They probably will be there. There's going to be a lot of different music. There's going to be Eden and John's East River String Band.
Oh, hey.
For about 15 minutes. I talked to Eden earlier in the evening, and actually they gave him 20 minutes, but it's going to take him 5 minutes to set up. So.
But why is Ray's Cafe being...
Ray's Candy Store.
Candy Store being supported.
Ray's Candy Store was being threatened with eviction. Ray just paid his January rent, and he paid his December rent, and he paid the rent on his apartment with the help of the people in the neighborhood. We had a rally for him 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
On a very cold Saturday night where 50 people showed up and begged passersby to go in and buy a cup of coffee or fries or whatever, ice cream. And people were giving him $5, $10, $20, $15, $20 and saying, keep the change. Ray was being threatened with eviction by a woman named Chupa. C-H-U-P-A. CHUPA. She's the business manager for the Leshko's family, who own Leshko's, which is now Yuka Restaurant on the corner of 7th Street and Avenue A, because he was 2 months behind in his rent at the time, because the economy has affected poor Ray's business. So this woman
wants to put a drugstore in there, right, or a bank.
Yeah, or there are some yuppie. According to this woman, Chupa, she had a client who was willing to pay $10,000 for Ray's, can't Ray's spot, little hole in the wall. You know, Ray pays $3,500 a month in rent, and he's now almost caught up. He has to pay February, and with this benefit on Saturday from 12 to 6 at the Sidewalk Cafe, hopefully he will. Looks like he probably will, and we can really celebrate. So, yeah, everybody should come out and support Ray. I'm going to be making some money helping a friend shovel snow on Saturday morning. So
isn't that too much like work for you?
I have to, man. I'm 2 months behind in my phone bill. Believe it or not, the phone company has been nice to me, and not as they haven't threatened to turn me off yet. Unlike the electric company, I'm unlike Con Ed. But I had to go to HRA.
I have the same problem, so I understand.
Yeah, I had to go to HRA down the street to ask them to help me pay my bill, my Con Ed bill. So, yeah. Yep. No, I don't mind. I don't mind getting up at like 6 in the morning to be at work at 7. Just out. And he's a friend. So this cat told me to be helping out a friend. So, no, I don't mind. I don't mind one bit. It means I'm going to maybe be able to make some money, have some pocket change, maybe hopefully pay off the rest of my debts. Yeah, I don't care. You know, my situation is a lot like WBAI's. I'm constantly in debt also.
Well,
you're not tax deductible.
We can certainly relate to that, Carl.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, a lot of the people that work at BAI are like me. I'm a militant bohemian, have been all my life. And a lot of the people that work at BAI are also.
Or pretending to be.
Hmm?
Or pretending to be.
Or pretending to be. Oh, I don't want to talk about the pretenders there. I'll let that rest for the time being. But, you know, yeah. Living in deliberate poverty does have its extreme drawbacks. So, you know, the people in the Lower East Side just throw me a benefit.
I like that militant bohemian. I really like that phrase.
Yeah, well, I'm the one of the few rare people in the world that still use it.
Hmm. You know what I resent these days? There is a pressure for people to not express anger. You see it in the culture, constantly reverberated in different forms. Be upbeat. Don't be, you know, why are you so negative? Don't be negative. Now, wait a second. There are some absolutely legitimate things to be negative about.
Well, thank you for that thought, Abby.
Yeah.
And to eliminate anger, I run around to people and I say, that's like telling Picasso, okay, you could use the greens, you could use the yellows, you could use the blues, no red. Just leave the red out. You cannot use red in your palette. I mean, tell that to Picasso. I mean, give me a break.
He's dead.
You got a point there, Bob.
What about,
that's why Marxists and Bolsheviks,
you know, there's always the question of attachment. What are we attached to? Are we attached to the distance between our mouths and
don't open any attachments from people you don't know.
That's true.
That's right. See, now it's getting good. 7 minutes before the end. Now we're heating up.
What are they attached to? You know, I mean, the problem about attachment is it's from one place to the other. It's not. I just wanted to read this little poem to you. We're practically off the air.
Right, go ahead, do it.
Do it or don't it. Don't do it. Practice making perfect, which is also always plus or minus whatever measure for measure.
Oof. And praxis makes perfect, too.
That's
and
true.
You almost said praxis. Now, what's that? Now, that's an interesting word. Praxis. Bob, have you ever heard a word like that? Praxis. P-R-O-X-I-S.
It doesn't get you to Carnegie Hall that easily. It's a little.
It sounds like a drug you
more abstract.
Use for.
They're very real.
For the opposite of potency, like I don't know.
It's walking the walk and talking the talk.
How proximate are we?
Oh God!
that really.
Way down. Play Dylan. That's the motto.
I was born in Dixie in a boomer shack, just a little shanty by the railroad track. Freight train was all taught me how to cry, humming of the drivers in my lullaby. I got the freight train blues. Oh, Lordy, Mama, I got him in the bottom of my rambling shoes. And when the whistle blows, I got to go. Baby, don't you know, it looks like I'm never gonna lose the freight train blues.
I want to thank all the people who've supported WBAI this evening, and would like to plead that a few more come through. Ibrahim Gonzalez and Ahmed Ali, I believe, will be in a little while to do In the Moment, and until then, we're going to play some train songs.
So when the whistle blows, I got to go. Oh, man, but don't you know? Well, it looks like I'm never gonna lose a freight train blues. Well, the only thing that makes me laugh again is a southbound whistle on a southbound train. Every place I wanna go, I never can go because you know I got the freight train blues. Oh, Lordy, mama, I got 'em in the bottom of my rambling shoes.